Lionel, let's talk about the possible intervention of aliens, extraterrestrials here.
Yes, I think this is a fascinating part of the whole scenario. And if we can imagine them as coming over, doing all the good that they could, being very benign, helping us, advancing our technology, giving us help with ways to avoid disease, ways of hygiene, things that would make life better for us on Earth. And they, in turn, I think, set up a group of ancient guardians, knowing that their visit here would be a short one, they then taught as many of their secrets as they could to people that they'd selected, and those secrets would have included things like moral principles, not just the kind of moral principles we find in the great religious books, like the Ten Commandments and the laws about treating your neighbors as you'd like to be treated, but whole sets of guidelines, not quite laws, but the principles of goodness and brotherhood and freedom that lie underneath the laws of a good civilized state. And what I suspect is that after the bringers of those teachings went back to wherever they came from, or maybe went on to visit another developing planet like ours.
They could be the trainers of the universe.
Yeah, what a wonderful phrase, George. Yeah, the trainers of the universe. Ideal. Now, what I suspect is that because the human mind and memory are not perfect, some of the truth that they taught became distorted or became lost. And the analogy that I would use is the experiments that were done with those very mysterious little guys called the hygienic bees. Now, there is a species of bee which instinctively knows how to clean out a fungus or any kind of parasite that gets into the hive or that gets into their nest. And they do it amazingly. If one of their grubs is infected, they will kill the grub, they clean out and seal the infected cell, and then they'll carry on. And they've contained whatever the disease or problem or plague or fungus was that was damaging the colony. Now, the experiment was that a number of these hygienic bees were crossed with ordinary bees that had none of these behavior patterns. And the ensuing generation manifested some very strange behavior. A few of them could do everything just as the original hygienic bees could do. Others would rip open a cell and clean it out and then not seal it again. So they'd lost part of the behavior pattern, and a third group would try sealing it up before it had been cleaned out. And by and large, we can see how what had once been very useful, helpful, benign information had got lost or impaired as the hybrid bees couldn't do what the originals did. Now, let's think of that in terms of our theory about knowledge from space. And again, I think you and I would agree that it may not have been from space. It might have been a super technological race from Atlantis.
Could have been.
Or even from ancient Lemuria. We don't know where they came from, but certainly there seems to have been a race, a group, a number of people, if they were human even, humanoid, who had come with this extra knowledge. Now, what happened to the people to whom they taught the secrets before they themselves returned, either to the ocean bed or back to their distant world? Well, if some of those secrets were lost, then perhaps they were sort of mal-remembered, and what should have been entirely benign became distorted in some way. And that's where you get the problem with who was at the back of King Philip le Bel when he attacked the Templars. Was it that there were more than one group of the ancients, as we said when we talked about the pantheons of gods earlier on? Were there in these pantheons usually one mischievous or bad god, in inverted commas, creature like Loki in the Norse mythology, creature like Set in the Egyptian mythology?
True, that's a good point.
So maybe there were rogue elements, there were renegades among this lot who didn't like what the good guys' followers were trying to do, and who then attacked them. If it was the good guardians who, through Bernard of Clairvaux, set up the Templars to do good, to protect pilgrims, to find ancient secrets below the Dome of the Rock, bring these things into the, for the benefit of their contemporaries. And then there were the dark forces that said, no, this must all be suppressed, this must be kept secret. These earthlings, these, contemporary human beings, don't deserve these secrets. We've got to stop the Templars before they go too far and do too much.
I have, when you cited the example of the Greek mythology and the Greek gods, it started me thinking about the possibilities that indeed this planet's been visited. Yet, somewhere at the beginning, Lionel, something, some force, had to create them.
Indeed. Yet, you see, it doesn't by any means preclude the idea of, for me, our God is the God of the whole universe, not just of this one little planet. And for me, it doesn't matter in the least. It doesn't affect my theology or my faith in any way if somebody could come up with concrete proof that the things that you and I discuss about these hyper-intelligent super beings from another part of the universe. I would simply say, oh yes, this doesn't replace God. This is just another of God's great works on the other side of the universe. And because these aliens may look so different from us that we can only communicate, the only thing we have in common is our shared intelligence and our ability to communicate thoughts. They could be amphibians, they could be reptilian, they might even be so different that we wouldn't recognize them as terrestrial life forms at all. There have been theories that the sun, the stars, things that we would regard as simply inanimate, actually have intelligence, and that the lava that bubbles below the volcanoes could be a totally different living thing. Why do thoughts have to be confined to a human brain or to an animal brain with neurons and synapses which do the thing by electrochemical processes? Where something as dynamic, shall we say, as the moving magma under the surface of the crust of the Earth, or the incredible things that go on in the stellar universe. I mean, if I'm going to really put my neck on the line, who's to say that a comet might not be a life form? It's a way out wild thought. But I don't think that life as we know it has to be biological as we know it. I think that God in his wisdom could have put intelligence into all sorts of things which we don't recognize as like us.